no-hitter.
Every White Sox game.
Give me the hot sauce.
Every Bulls game.
GWG.
Every Blackhawks game. It's all here.
Make sure you guys tune in.
It's only here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Pat Boyle. This podcast is all about Andrew Shaw after he announced his retirement because of concussions on Monday. Shaw tells you how being passed over in the draft and the doubters fueled his 10-year NHL career. He talks about what's next for him and has a message for you, the Blackhawks fans. Stan Bowman tells us his first impression of Shaw on the ice. And Andrew sees some of himself in Brandon Hagel's play. A little bit later on, Charlie Romaliotis joins me to discuss Shaw's legacy here in Chicago. It's all coming up on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
You can win big with NBC Sports Chicago and Coors Light. Just head to NBCSportsChicago.com/sweepstakes to enter. You have the chance to win prizes ranging from a Drizzly discount code or the weekly grand prize that includes an autographed Patrick Sharp Coors Light jersey. Here is how Andrew Shaw's retirement was announced on social media on Monday.
My first game as a rookie with the Chicago Blackhawks still sticks out in my mind.
And right off the draw, the gloves are off. As the kid Shaw is up against Ronaldo, and now down they go.
In my second shift, I had my first fight in the National Hockey League. I followed that up with my first NHL goal in the second period.
Right here off the door at the boards. He's got it. Here's a back, and that is gone! Andrew Shaw in his first NHL game has scored with a point-blank backhander, and the Hawks are in front.
From that point on, I knew I had a chance to be the team's underdog, a player that could represent the city of Chicago's blue-collar mentality. Be their mutt, if you will. There comes a time when every athlete needs to realize that health is a priority. And the future with their family is most important. That time for me is now. After several concussions, the doctors strongly recommend that I stop playing the game that I love. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to listen. I'm extremely proud of what I accomplished in my career, and I want to make it clear that I would not change anything about it. I won 2 Stanley Cups, made lifelong friends, and some enemies too, and will cherish those memories for the rest of my life. To the Chicago Blackhawks organization, Stan Bowman and Rocky Wartz, thank you for taking a chance on a kid who has passed over twice in the NHL draft. Without their belief in me, my underdog story would never have been written. I also want to thank the Chicago Blackhawks medical staff, Dr. Michael Terry, Michael Gapsky, Jeff Thomas, and Patrick Becker, for providing me with the best care I could have asked for through my 7 years in Chicago, as well as the equipment staff, Parchy, Clint, Jimmy, and DJ, for keeping me sharp on the ice. To my wife, Shanette, and my kids, Andy and Dax, thank you for always standing in my corner and being my biggest fans. Thank you to my parents, Doug and Darlene, my brothers, Jason and Joshua, and my sister, Alex, for always believing in me and shaping me into the man I am today. Thank you to my agent, Pat Brisson, for always treating me like a big dog, even though I was just a little guy. And lastly, a special thanks to my coaches, Joel Quinville, Claude Julien, and Jeremy Calton. I hope it was as fun for you to coach me as it was for me to play for you guys. I will miss the locker room and my teammates, both from Chicago and Montreal. I hope you guys miss me too. Though I might have been excessively loud.
Take a seat, Beachy.
You hear that, Gus? That's for me, bud.
Pulled a prank once or twice.
That guy is a little girl.
Or just giving you a hard time.
I think I'd win that fight between me and Rance.
I hope I don't piss you off this year, but I'm sure I will.
Her daughter is adorable.
Well, she takes after me.
I always pride myself on keeping the mood light and being the best teammate I can be. It was a pleasure competing with you night in and night out. Most of all, I will miss the fans. I was lucky enough to play in two of the best hockey cities in the world, in Chicago and Montreal, and I am grateful for my experiences with all of you. I gave everything I had every single night, and you're one of the reasons why this is the toughest decision to make in my life. I want to thank you for giving a mutt a home and a chance to live out my childhood dream. Thank you.
Joining me now, NBCSportsChicago.com, Blackhawks insider Charlie Romeliotis. All right, Charlie, what was your reaction when you heard that Shaw was hanging him up?
Yeah, I don't think I was surprised, and I don't think a lot of people were surprised. I am happy to see him. I don't want to say go out on his own terms, because it definitely feels like these concussions have driven him out of the game. But the fact that at training camp, when he did come back and say, you know, I'm going to be at peace post-hockey career, it feels like he's good with this decision. You know, like some guys we see break down and they have a hard time kind of moving on from hockey, but the fact that he's kind of able to come to that conclusion where doctors advised him not to continue playing. And I think the city of Chicago also is kind of happy and relieved probably too, because it felt like every time we watched the Blackhawks game, and maybe if Andrew Shaw was involved in a big hit, you kind of just like brace, you know, just like, I hope he doesn't get hit the wrong way or things like that. So the fact that he can go out a two-time Stanley Cup champion and really accomplished, had such a successful NHL career, I think we're able to look back at his career on as a positive and not really a negative on how it ended.
Yeah, you know, I felt like when we heard him right before training camp started, and that was early January, I felt like he had already kind of gone through the mental process of what it's like to retire. And I actually think that in a weird way, or the silver lining to the pandemic was, you know, in quarantine, he said he was making his kids dinner every night and he was getting accustomed to life without hockey. And as he said, I'm going to be okay without after hockey. He said that a couple of times in that January press conference. And it just, first of all, we talked about it on this podcast, how mature that comment sounded from, at the time, I guess, 28-year-old. But, you know, he's not the same guy that we saw come into the league and, you know, drop the gloves on his second shift. He has more perspective. He has a family. He understands that 13 months that he came back from his last concussion was hell. It sounded like he went to the depths of depression. And it was very difficult for him. And so we were all kind of crossing our fingers this go around that, you know, he'd be able to write his own ending. And as so many times in professional sports, that doesn't happen. And it was sort of a, I don't know, you see elbows like that quite a bit too. The one that eventually knocked him out from that Dallas game in February. So look, it was a hell of a run. A lot of the attributes that gave him an NHL career also played a part in taking his career away prematurely, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think what makes this maybe a little bit easier to swallow is obviously when he did go out with a concussion, he was still around. Like, he was still around practices, popping his head out. He was at every home game wearing his fedora in the suite with his teammates. Like, he was still around. It wasn't like he went into a really dark place this time around. And so I think that's what makes it a little bit easier to swallow, where you look at him and he's been around the team and he's in good spirits, but it's just hockey is just not something that he can continue. And I think he said it in his statement too, about, he's like, if somebody didn't drag me off the ice, like, I would die on the ice, because like, somebody literally has to drag me off, because even coming off that 14th month concussion recovery, it's like, still felt like he had something to prove on the ice, because somebody else needs to tell him, hey, Andrew, we got to rein it back here. And the fact that the doctors were the ones to tell him, I'm sure he had a lot of emotions going on, and I'm sure he wanted to fight back from it. But the fact that he seems at peace with this decision, I think, is what Chicago should, you know, breathe a sigh of relief a little bit.
By the way, one of the coolest and classiest retirement announcements I've ever seen in all my years in covering sports. I don't know if I've seen, I'm sure there've been plenty where athletes kind of in their own words say goodbye. But for a time where, you know, we have no fans in stands, you know, he's not able to communicate at a Blackhawks convention or what have you. This was, I thought, the next best thing. And I thought it really sounded like it was Andrew's words from the heart.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It really felt like it. You were reading the statement and you watched the video and you felt like Andrew wrote it. You know, it like, sometimes you see these statements and it can come from agencies and it can come from help, but it really felt like this came from Andrew Shaw's heart. And I'm sure he had, you know, some help to get all the wording right and all the punctuations and things like that right, but it really felt like the words, he genuinely meant them. You could feel, and you can even see it in the video too, like talking to Blackhawks fans and then walking away with his Andrew Shaw sweater. It was a very cool way to go out.
Well, everybody likes an underdog story, and certainly Andrew Shaw's hockey career is an underdog story. You know, passed over a couple of times in the draft, finally taken by the Hawks, signed to an AHL contract, and he just kept knocking down doors and forcing his way into this league. Here's Andrew Shaw on proving people wrong throughout his career.
I was always told I was never good enough, never big enough, never fast enough, never skilled enough. So yeah, obviously I'm just grateful for the time I had. I mean, 10 years, 2 Stanley Cups, you know, over 500 games. I have a lot of memories that I'll be able to remember, and maybe people saying all those things put a chip on my shoulder and made me want to prove them wrong. But the reason I think I eventually made it was just for the love of the game, you know, the passion I brought to the game, how competitive I am as a person. You can't, you know, all that's more important than skill and speed and size. So I think being passed over and told all those things just pushed me more, I guess.
We talk about athletes finding, reasons to have a grudge against somebody else. Tom Brady being taken, you know, 199th overall seems to fuel him to his 7th Super Bowl title. Patrick Kane not making the U.S. development team out of the gates, not being a top-ranked prospect when he began his London Knights career, things like that. I mean, look, you got to have it. Talent as well, but I do think when you look back at Andrew and how he got his break in the NHL, it was through hard work, determination, and finally someone identifying what he does best and what he could do on a regular basis at the highest level of hockey.
Yeah, it's will over skill for him. Like, he didn't wow with his skill level. He wasn't this highly touted prospect, and even when he got drafted, like, he wasn't this big time point producer, or whatever. Like, he carved out his niche at the NHL level. And I think the one thing about Andrew Shaw is that he always played with that chip on his shoulder, right? Like, he didn't feel like if there were, maybe he didn't get on the score sheet, or maybe he went through scoring droughts in his career, point droughts, but you always felt like he was making an impact because he could impact the game in so many other ways. And by we actually saw it too, when he went down with an injury, that's when the Blackhawks power play started to tail off a little bit, because he was the guy that went to those gritty areas and he wasn't getting the points, but he was the puck retrieval guy on that power play. And that's when things started to dip for the Blackhawks. So he does all those little things really well. And I think that chip on his shoulder from going undrafted a few times and then being drafted later on, and then having to work his way up from the AHL level to the Blackhawks and then making an impact at the, like, he didn't just come into the Blackhawks when they were a rebuilding team. Like, he came in when they were Stanley Cup contenders and he had to prove himself. And that's exactly what he did.
He came in to fill the Daniel Carcillo role. And, you know, he knew exactly what that was. He talked about it in his presser Monday, how his Owen Sound OHL coach recognized what he brought to the table. And while he was pigeonholed by the entire organization a certain way, this coach in particular, who happened to be a former teammate of Joel Quenneville's, and he also talked about how much Q embraced what Andrew got brought to the table. So it was interesting that combination, last coach before he gets drafted in the NHL and his first coach in the NHL, how they recognized the what Andrew brings, his willingness to go to the tough areas, playing bigger than himself, and realizing that there's going to be some times he's going to take a penalty or two. But by and large, his positives are going to outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, I want to say when the Blackhawks traded him to Montreal, I think Joel Quenneville at the time called him an irreplaceable player. Like, that's
yes, you know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so that's what I think of. And you mentioned obviously him filling the Daniel Carcillo role when he came here. Not only did he do that, like, yeah, I'm sure his first career NHL game, he had that fight, and that's probably what his role was supposed to be. But then over time, it developed into, oh, this guy can actually play in our top six, and he can score, and he can be a pest. If we put him with a Jonathan Toews and a Patrick Kane on the same line, he can go get the pucks for them, but he can also be that guy to protect the star players, because he has also – obviously earlier I said it was will over skill, but he does have skill to hang with those guys as well. He just wasn't going to wow you with his big time point producing numbers. And so, yeah, that's like Joel said, irreplaceable player Shaw is.
You talked about his entry into the NHL. You talk about making an impact going up against Philadelphia and the fight with Zach Rinaldo, who was regarded at the time as one of the toughest in the league. He drops the gloves with him, and I watched that video today again. I mean, there are some big-time haymakers thrown in that one. And then in the second period, he scores his first NHL goal on a nice move to the net and backhand. Here's Stan Bowman on the first moment that he realized Shaw's potential.
You know, the first time I saw him play before we drafted him, I went up to watch the Memorial Cup, and he's this guy just – everywhere. He was so active. He was in the face of the other team. And then we draft him, we bring him in, and his first camp here, very first shift, I remember, in a summer camp, he was playing like it was the Stanley Cup final. He was very intense, and that's just the only way he knew how to play. And I think that's what made him so successful. Obviously the most obvious thing is his, you know, his first game in the NHL, he challenges a really tough guy in Philly, who's, you know, was kind of well respected around the league for being a tough player, and Andrew had no fear, went right after him and scored a goal that game. And I think it was just a great introduction to the NHL for him. And I think from that moment on, we knew we had somebody that had a lot of energy and was going to bring a different element to the team.
So Stan saw it early, just as all of us did. And that takes us to our cold brew check presented by Dunkin'. As we check in on Andrew Shaw's career stats, again, played 10 years in the NHL, 7 of those with the Blackhawks, 3 in Montreal. In 2014, he had the most goals he had as a Blackhawk, 20. He also had 19 assists to go with that. His best season was his last in Montreal, 2019. He had 47 points in 63 games. He played in over 500 regular season games, and he'll always be remembered in Chicago for being a key contributor in the playoffs. 5 goals en route to the 2013 Cup, 5 goals en route to the 2015 Cup. And for my money, one of my favorite goals of the entire Cup era, the 3-6, was his triple overtime deflection off his shin pads, where he, you know, hands Boston the game one loss. And we have that mic'd up part where, you know, you hear the deafening horn in the United Center going, the crowd going crazy, and Shaw is mic'd up and he's in the scrum with all his teammates, and he's like, I love you, Bully. I love you, Bully. I love shin pads. I mean, you know, those are things that, like, for me, like, when we tell, like, a storyteller, like, that, those are things that that'll go with me to the grave. I mean, and that was just the type of guy he was. Realized his role, greasy goal. There's nothing more greasy than a shot going off your shin pads and in.
Yep, that's exactly it. And it's funny too, because it, like we mentioned earlier, it didn't require any skill. He was just in the dirty area and it went off of his shin pad off a double deflection. And so obviously it's one of the biggest goals in Blackhawks Stanley Cup final history, because who knows what would have happened if, you know, Boston wins that game one and, you know, maybe there's no 17 second, whatever, however it would have unfolded. But yeah, that's, I mean, you can go, there's such a laundry list of Andrew Shaw items that we can kind of highlight as moments that we can remember from his career that really stand out.
What other, I mean, everyone's talking about the headbutt. I guess that was against Anaheim in 2015.
Yep.
Of course, that was a, you know, no goal. What else? What other things jump out to you? Most memorable moments of Andrew Shaw's career?
So the one moment, obviously, when he got stitched up in the Stanley Cup final against Boston, where he had those stitches coming across. I don't want to say that moment, but there's a picture of him with the cup raised above his head, and he's screaming, and there's just blood dripping down. It's like, that perfectly encapsulates Andrew Shaw as a hockey player, where he gets smoked in the face, he gets stitched up, and then he comes back in the game and his stitches are reopening, where there's blood down his face. But and actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he had to change jerseys during the game because there was blood on his jersey.
I don't think
you're able to do, like, I think there was some moment where he had to get a new jersey or something. He had to wipe the blood off of his face because he couldn't come back on the anyways. That picture is, and also I believe NBC had to bleep out a few things when Andrew Shaw had the cup over his head, because he said a few words that weren't friendly for television. So that picture of him raising the cup over his head, blood dripping down his face, he's stitched up, that perfectly encapsulates Andrew Shaw.
And to put a bow on that story, it was such a big story. It was so iconic for what he represents to this city, that he ends up auctioning off those stitches for, I think, over $6,000, I believe. And it went to charity, of course. But like you know, those are things that are done only when the fan base can't get enough of you. Like, okay, I need his stitches, you know? There's a market for those.
That's exactly it. And it just felt like, yeah, it's a part of Blackhawks history. Now, if you're one of the, I know it was for charity, but if you're one of the people or whatever that bought those stitches, what are you doing with those stitches, and where are they right now on a moment like today?
That's an interesting question. Yeah. I don't know how you even, like, show that off in a house. Is it just sitting in a, you know, I don't know, glass. Here you go. Take a look. That was Cold Brew Check as we looked at Andrew Shaw's career numbers, presented by Dunkin'. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. And it was appropriate that shin pads came against Boston, which of course is the home of Dunkin' Donuts. It's all synergy here, Charlie. That's what we do. Here's Andrew Shaw on which players on the current Blackhawks team play a similar style to his.
I would love to see the kind of mold I am continue in hockey for generations. And you do see a little bit of yourself in players. Obviously, most players have similarities. That's why they've made it to the NHL. There's just something about players in the NHL that a lot have. But, you know, you look at a guy like Brandon Hagel who can skate and get on forechecked and play physical. I think that's will help him in his career. I obviously think he's a lot more skilled than me and faster than I was. So I'd like to see him push himself to be more consistent. You know, I mean, he's been a great player. And when I was young, I had a guy like Marian Hossa to look up to. And Joel Quenneville always told me the most important thing you could find in a player is consistency, because then you know what you're going to get from him game in, game out. And I'd like to see young players try to figure that part out of their game earlier in their career to give them a longer career. I think you see a little bit of Hags and a little bit of me and Hags for sure.
I think that's a pretty good comp. I mean, you know, you even heard Andrew say he's faster than I am and he's probably got a more offensive skill, but yeah, like in recent time, we're looking for guys that have edge. And I think that's going to be the next step as we begin to evaluate this team going forward. Like, you know, they stumbled against the really, really good teams. And when this team gets to the playoffs, how will they continue to advance? You advance with guys that are willing to get their nose dirty and don't shy away from that part of the game. And certainly Brandon Hagel is a guy that we have identified this year and looked at and said, yeah, his game looks similar to ones that you like to see when you're playing for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I think that's where the comparison is. I think Hagel and Shaw, they both play with edge. They both like to get their nose dirty, or they aren't afraid to do so. And they're not afraid to mix it up, but also the fact that they're both underdogs, right? Like that their journey to the NHL wasn't, you know, hey, like Brandon Hagel had to work for his spot at the NHL level and then he finally got it. Where I think, you know, is a little bit different is, like Andrew mentioned, I think Hagel's faster. Like, and Hagel plays more of a north-south game, I feel like, and in that way. And I mean this in a compliment to Andrew, but I don't think Brandon is in the same sentence as Hagel or as Shaw as far as having a screw loose. Like Andrew Shaw went out there and like he would intimidate opponents, like he would chirp opponents. Like that was something that was really, that was part of his game. Whereas Brandon Hagel seems like the quiet, you know, like he's not going to go chirp guys. He'll stand up for his teammates. Like we've seen that, you know, when he defended with the Patrick Laine fight earlier in the year, like he can do that. But I think Andrew had a special kind of, he could just play, like he can get hit in the face and he'll like turn around and smile, you know, like he'd have that screw loose where like he'd intimidate opponents that way.
Yeah, he reminded me a little bit of a wrestler, you know, he had that, entertainer side to it, knew when he was getting the United Center crowd into a lather, knew when he was getting under the skin of his opponent. So he had that kind of that wrestler showmanship type mentality to his overall presentation. But one thing I'm definitely would have liked to have seen was his ability, because at age 29, you know, he entered the Blackhawks dressing room where he was the young guy coming up from Rockford trying to find a role on a well-established team. I kind of wanted to see him in this role. When he was in Montreal, he really took over a leadership role in that room. And I thought that, you know, part of with all these guys exiting, with Seabrook out, you know, with Corey Crawford gone, with Taves not around, it would have been nice to have, yeah, another connection to the past of how we do things, how hard we work off the ice, how much we prepare to be ready to go. And I thought he would be a really good mentor to a lot of the young guys in that room. And like you mentioned, you know, even in this last concussion situation, he was around a lot. And, you know, I think he's going to take some time away, but I hope to see him back here in some kind of capacity, because it was cool to hear his teammates talk about what he brings to the room, because this can be a grind. And when you're losing and when things, the pressure's mounting and you're worried about getting traded and making the playoffs and getting a contract, it's nice to have guys like number 65 around that bring some levity to the situation, but also know when to buckle down and get out there and play hard.
That's exactly it. I remember, I believe it was Duncan Keith said it right when they reacquired Andrew Shaw. He's like, that's a guy you love having in your locker room on a January day when you're up in Winnipeg and it's the dog days of the year. Maybe you've lost four in a row and you need someone like that. You need glue guys in the locker room to know when to be serious, but also to keep things loose for when things aren't going your way. And so that's, I feel like that bringing him back to Chicago, that was as important as his on ice contributions, as well as making sure that they had those guys in the locker room. And we saw it all over social media today, either on Instagram or Twitter. You saw all these Blackhawks teammates were pouring out their love for Andrew Shaw and what he brought to the table. So yeah, it was nice to see. And yeah, hopefully this isn't the last we see of Andrew Shaw, because he even went out in a classy way, or in a funny way in his press release, saying, for the first time I'm listening to my doctors, for the first time I'm listening to someone, by stepping away from the game. So hopefully we see him again soon.
Yeah. And he even had fun with us at the end. It sucks. Again, there's a lot of things we miss when we're not able to cover the team in person. And there's a lot of, things that you can get out of a team or a particular player when you're around them. This new format that we have where, you know, they're in front of a wall with some logos on it and a microphone, and you know, there's not a lot of give and take. There's not a lot of nuance to the conversation, but he ended his conversation with the media on Monday with like, I'm not going to miss you guys at all. And then he goes, "Ah, just kidding. I'm going to miss you." That kind of thing. So it was, he was a pleasure to be around, because it was cool to watch him interact as a young guy with a veteran laden team and then contribute. And then it was cool to see him come back in a veteran leadership type of role and look around and see all these young Andrew Shaws in the room. Speaking of the messages, his Instagram was getting a workout since the announcement happened. Here's what Andrew Shaw's message is to you, the Blackhawks fan.
Well, you haven't seen my Instagram. It's blown up. I'm getting lots of love. It feels great. I don't know if they're trying to make me cry or not, but I want to thank everyone who took a 20-year-old mutt and gave him a home. Made me feel right at home here. Everyone was very kind. Chicagoans are the best people, welcoming, caring, loving, supportive. And I'm going to miss the blue-collar mentality, too, that this city has. You know, everyone works hard and pulls their weight and I don't know, make this place a home to many people. Everyone was great to my wife, to my kids, to my mom and dad, my siblings. My brother loved it so much that he lives down here now. Saying that, I'll be here more visiting him as well. So I want to thank Chicago. I want to thank the fans, but you'll be seeing more of me for sure.
Yeah, I just think, you know, sometimes every once in a while there's like great fits. And I think, you know, the Bears have seen it over the years, the players that, they have that tough exterior, that blue collar approach that identifies well with the working person in Chicago. And I think Andrew Shaw epitomized that. So I think you kind of root for an underdog. You root for somebody who scratches and claws and gets knocked down and gets back up again. And he represents a lot of what the fans that cheer for him go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a perfect way to describe it. And it's cool to watch, looking at his story and his career, is not only did he go undrafted twice and, you know, eventually he was drafted and then he made it to the NHL. It's what he did when he got to the NHL too, where he's leaving, you know, a career behind where he won two Stanley Cups and he made such an impact on this city. And he was, I mean, he was one of the guys when social media was starting to take off, like with athletes, Andrew Shaw like had the biggest following out of any Blackhawk or athlete in Chicago, because he had become such a fan favorite. And I think it's exactly what you pointed out. He's a, obviously he's a character, right? But he resembles, or he exemplifies what it means to be, you know, a member of the city of Chicago, where it is that blue collar approach. And even though he got to the NHL, that probably could have been enough where he carves out maybe a fourth line role. But the fact that he was still unsatisfied, and even after the 14th month layoff with his concussion, he was still determined to prove people wrong, and to put, like, that's the kind of unsatisfied attitude that he had. And it's just, is in his competitive nature. And it's just, that's why I feel like the city of Chicago really embraces him too.
And he was true to his family. So, you know, he came from Belleville, Ontario, modest upbringing. I think I remember the story correctly, that the sporting goods store that he used to go to get equipment, they didn't have a ton of money. And that the owner of that store would give Andrew some equipment and sticks and whatnot, with a wink, wink, like, don't worry about it. You know, like, we got you, we know you're an up and coming player in our town. And, you know, we understand that your family may not have the means. And I did a story, and I think it was 2015. So his brother came to live with Andrew, one of his two brothers. And, he was in construction like Andrew's father. And, he started dating a Chicago girl, which he ended up marrying. And he was part of the construction crew who renovated Wrigley Field. And so I went to Wrigley Field, and this was in the, you know, when they were doing the major renovations and, you know, building underneath Clark and Addison to the different, to the Cubs clubhouse, and redoing the outfield and all the other things. And so he was a part of that. And it was like, how cool is this? This guy's brother is this blue collar, hardworking, can play up and down the lineup, but probably is a, you know, fourth liner at heart, who's, you know, making a good living as a Stanley Cup winning Chicago Blackhawk. Other brother is a hardworking guy, you know, and he's forging himself, and he's working hard and got himself in the union, and, you know, was looked at as an outsider because Canadian, the whole, I mean, to me, it was just, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. Right. Like, this is why, you know, a lot of how you're raised impacts, you know, how you comport yourself the rest of your life. And so when he ended his presser on Monday, then they're like, what are you going to do next? He's like, I'm going to go back home and help my dad build a house. I really get satisfaction from that. So like, it was kind of this construction feel, this, you know, I don't know, you know, again, we're getting back to the storytelling, but I don't know. I thought there was a lot of cool connecting of the dots throughout Andrew's career. And even in his last day here announcing his retirement.
Yeah, put on the hard hat. Just feels, yeah, like no matter what, it's the hockey helmet, it's the construction hat. It's that family and their bloodline has hard hats, and that's awesome. And again, it's why the city of Chicago really embraced him. And to your point too, I forgot to mention this earlier about a leadership role. He was one of the guys that wore the A with Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook out. Like, they even gave him that leadership role, yeah, even though he hadn't been a part of the team. So yeah, just a great career. I don't think, like, it's funny too, because he's probably going to look back on his career and just, he's still going to feel unsatisfied, but he's going to be at peace with it. But if you would have told Andrew Shaw before, when he was undrafted, that this is the career that you're going to have, he probably would have taken it. But now you're at the other end of it, you still want more. That's just the competitive nature and what's in his blood for Andrew Shaw.
I think he's going to be a good advocate too for mental health. He's not afraid to talk about depression. And I think that's really important for people to hear, especially from their sports, quote unquote, heroes or idols. I think he's also going to be a great advocate for those that have experienced concussions. And he's going to try to talk open and freely about it. I'm trying to figure out what role he's going to, I don't know. He'd be a hell of a coach too. I could see him, you know, starting off in Rockford in an assistant role, or you know, and but being a guy that could, you know, help a team get through the roller coaster ride that is an 82 game NHL season.
Yeah, he'd probably be a pretty fun coach to be for, because you feel like he wouldn't take things seriously, right? Like, he would be that coach where, like, you're like, is he serious or is he joking? Like, are we laughing? Or, you know, like,
right.
that would be cool. But it's also funny to kind of like think of what Andrew Shaw's career could be, because, like, he is a guy that, like, you don't take seriously, like, really in any situation. Even the Patrick Kane 1000 game tribute, like, everyone's sending these nice messages, congrats Kaner, like, we whatever, and then there's Andrew Shaw with his shirt off and he's like, you know, like, he's still, and like you said too, I think he wrote this in it was ESPN's Emily Kaplan, I think, interviewed Andrew Shaw, and in there he said, I'm a gym rat. Like, he's still going to be in the gym 5 days a week, and he wants to stay fit and he wants to stay healthy. So I think that goes up to what you're saying too about mental health, the importance of that, and also just keeping his own sanity and wanting to be a spokesperson for, you know, concussions and what people can do. Because in that same piece, he said, I've seen more doctors over the last 4 years than I really care to it. Like, and I can't even imagine what that process like, was for him, but it's been a nice career for Andrew Shaw, and we obviously wish him the best. And the fact that he said he's not going to be done here in Chicago should make Chicago fans excited that he's going to have a role maybe within the organization, or he's going to be around all the time.
Or you never know, Charlie, maybe he'll show up on a pregame, intermission, or postgame show. I could see that in his near future as well.
Or a potential Blackhawks Talk podcast in the future.
Amen. Well, you know, so congratulations to Andrew Shaw on an amazing career, to his wife, Seanette, his daughter, Andy, and Dax. You got dad back. He is on the road to recovery, and he's got some great stories to tell, and he's got some more stories to tell, because I am confident that he's going to come back to Chicago in some capacity and do more work here, because I just think it was the perfect marriage.
Amen.
All right, that is a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast presented by Coors Light, as we reminisce and look back at Andrew Shaw's career. Thank you for listening. As always, don't forget to rate us, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.